Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
We'll get to this in just a minute. We were just talking about the Connecticut man who was held captive by his stepmom for 20-something years in their home in Connecticut. And I was just going through some of the national websites. He has just done an interview with NBC News.
No way.
Yes, he has.
How do we feel about that?
It has just come out.
Forgive me for wanting to even ask the question. How are his communication skills?
Well, these are coherent. I haven't heard the interview. I'm just reading the story on NBCNews.com.
Okay.
Where he says, I am, and I'm quoting here from him, 32 years old, only identified by the letter S. And this is in a prepared statement. So let me rephrase. He didn't sit down for an interview with NBC News. He released a statement to NBC News.
Okay, I was going
to
say, I don't feel comfortable with that because I don't think he understands legally the consent you would have to give to even do that.
He says, and I quote, "I am a survivor of more than 20 years of captivity and domestic abuse. I was held prisoner in my home from the time I was taken out of the fourth grade at age 11 until 2 months ago at the age of 31 when I purposely set the fire that helped set me free." And then there are some more pictures. The police department in their town in Connecticut confirmed the statement did come from him. He says the letter S was not the name he was given at birth, but said deciding to be addressed that way marks the first of many choices he will make now that he is free.
Good. Good.
Okay, there's the backstory. His stepmom, Kimberly Sullivan, has been charged with first-degree assault, second-degree kidnapping, pleaded not guilty. S said in his statement that he is speaking out so that he can begin to reclaim his life and have a say in how his story is being told. Quoting here again from the statement, "Much has already been said that tells part of the story of the abuse that I endured. Someday, perhaps my whole story will be told."
Today is not that day. He has so much healing, Scott, and, you know, just therapy and support. And that town has surrounded him with support. Even the police department, did you see, put together a collection just to get him some just bare necessities, clothing. You know, I think maybe like 5 years from now, if he chose to do an interview, he could do an interview. But I would be really uncomfortable with like a sit-down interview at this time.
You think he'll ever, and I use this term loosely, so forgive me, and it's probably not the best word to use, but do you think he'll ever be normal?
Or let's use this term, reintegrated into society.
Or adjusted.
Okay. Man, I don't know. Like, I'm sure there are psychiatrists that would line up privately to try to help him through that because it's such a rare, awful, thank God, rare, awful crime.
Well, mom belongs in prison for the rest of her life. Stepmom belongs in prison for the rest of her life.
Released on question. Bond, too, which is wild to me.
Without question. Really quick, because we ended the show with this yesterday, can we update everyone, Sam, on the Gene Hackman property situation? Because the word I saw this morning, this was just sort of eking out yesterday afternoon. The word I saw this morning with respect to the rodents on that property was infestation.
Oh, yeah.
There was an infestation.
So they did a hantavirus risk assessment test on the property. They had multiple outbuildings, including a couple of garages, a couple of like smaller one-room studio-style facilities. And they found multiple nests and a significant amount of rodent droppings scattered throughout the buildings. And they believe that is what led to her getting hantavirus.
And that's how you get it. $4 million estate. I do not understand how there is an infestation. This is not one or two mice in a garage, you guys. They called this an infestation surrounding multiple buildings on the property.
Live rodents, dead rodents, rodents' nests, and significant amounts of rodent feces.
Oh,
they may not
God.
Have seen them or had any in the main house, but in the outbuildings, if you're not taking care of business.
Well, and keep in mind, he was suffering from a serious case of dementia. She is probably, well, she's taking care of him and the property. And it's possible, you know, she saw some mouse droppings out. And I'm just spitballing here. You know, we don't need to call somebody out. I'll just go out and sweep it up real quick and clean up the little outhouse. Not the outhouse.
Outbuilding.
Outbuilding. Yeah. And shed or whatever.
Rodent feces were found in three detached garages, two casitas. Those are basically homes, little mothers-in-law quarters.
Style.
And three sheds during the home site environmental assessment.
So they had eight outbuildings. The main house was considered clean with zero signs of infestation. The nests and feces were piled on vehicles on the property. Live traps were found in many of the outbuildings, so they knew that there was a problem.
Okay, so someone had set traps.
Yeah.
Well, this house, this area of Santa Fe up in the hills, it's not in the city. It's not in a residential suburban type of area. It's out in the hills. Mm-hmm. It is rustic and a little bit in the wild.
Okay, wait. One more thing, Dan. This might not have been a contact from one of the outbuildings. The report, however, found that while rodents did not have access to the main primary home that was clean, they found access in eight other buildings, as well as, quote, rodent sightings in two of the vehicles on the property.
It's almost like this property was way too large for them to
handle. Bingo, yeah. Dan, bingo. Yeah. At the point that you have so many mice that there are, this was not droppings in the vehicles. This says the report indicates rodent sightings. In two of the vehicles on the property,
and you have
got a rodent problem.
And she had been in one of those vehicles a couple.
Oh,
yes,
God.
They had to readjust the last time she was seen because she went to her doctor's office, if I'm not mistaken.
Maybe she just didn't think about it. It's like, all right, fine, there's rodent droppings, all right, whatever. But in that region, because of the low humidity level, all those droppings desiccate, turn into dust. You disturb it. You breathe it in.
Ugh.
Dan, this says reports of the hantavirus are relatively rare. However,
extremely deadly.
In New Mexico, almost 50% of the cases are fatal.
Mm-hmm.
You get it, you're dead.
Mm-hmm. It happens not often, but it happens often enough.
Am I not mistaken? Once the symptoms set in, there's very little you can do at that point.
Yeah.
You're screwed.
Also, these were not mice. These were rats.
They were. And New Mexico has the most prevalent hantavirus issue.
This is from Yahoo News. Take that for what it's worth. But I think they're looking at the report. Gene Hackman's residence was, quote, severely infested with rats, making it what has been described as a breeding ground for the hantavirus.
I mean, it's the environment out there. It's high desert. And especially among the population, you've got different types of building out there than you would here.
If there was a rat in my car, I wouldn't have to succumb to hantavirus because I would have a heart attack and die right there on the spot.
I pulled a full on Dana today.
Oh my God. I hate rats.
So I just planted out in the back in the landscaping, right off my back patio, a hosta that I bought over the weekend. Very beautiful, big hosta.
What?
A hosta.
What's that?
It's a
hosta, the plants.
Oh, okay. It's a plant.
Yeah, oh, my God. They're everywhere, Dan.
H-O-S-T-A. You would know it. You can't grow them in full sunlight, so they have to be in mostly shade, but a little bit of sunlight. They're beautiful.
And they kind of look
almost
like...
almost tropical plants.
It's tropical a shade lettuce.
Garden plant.
Yes.
I'm learning.
So I go out with my little... what do you call it? The device
bathrobe.
Not my bathrobe. To water your plants. What are those things called?
Plant waterer?
Yeah, the
bucket.
Plant waterer. Wasn't a buck because you know you tip it and it makes it look like rainfall coming out. Anyway, we're getting way off track.
Martha Stewart.
I go out there because you know when you put a new plant in the ground, you don't want it to go into shock, so you got to keep it watered and everything.
A watering can, I believe.
A watering can. Yeah, that's okay. Fine. So, guys are ruining my great story.
Is it great?
I'm going to get there somewhere sometime. I go to water this hosta, and I don't know what it was, but it was a rodent.
Oh.
Because it was brown and furry, and
God.
And it takes off from the underneath the hosta.
How big was it?
It was about that big.
Probably a mole.
Oh, wow.
It was about that big.
Oh, God. Or a rat.
That's a rat.
It wasn't a squirrel. I don't have, there are no oak trees in the entire neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And I, because there's like three steps to go down to where this is off of the back patio. I went full blown Dana Wright. I screamed. I go running up those three stairs and straight back into the kitchen.
It's a bear.
And all it was some little rodent that had gotten wet by my little water can and didn't want to be wet.
Mm-hmm. Probably a rat.
And here I am, you know, 5'11", scared to death of some stupid little brown furry.
Well, you got spooked.
I did get spooked.
Yeah, yeah.
Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks. Dan Weinbaum over there here on KMBZ. All right, story here from the Kansas City Star. Board members claim it is God's will.
Oh, come on.
Board members of a local Christian school, this is from the Star, these are not my words. Board members of a local Christian school are knowingly choosing to relocate to a site surrounded by more than a dozen registered sex offenders, according to a parent with children who attend the school. Okay. The school board did not tell parents that 13 sex offenders either live or work near their new location before announcing the upcoming move, according to Katie Fetzer. And board members of Blue Ridge Christian School have dismissed her concerns and moved ahead with the plan. Quoting here from Katie Fetzer, who is the founder of a nonprofit aimed at preventing and stopping the exploitation and child sex abuse. She says, and I quote, "They have hunkered down. The parents have not been publicly notified that their children and school are going to be within the range of sex offenders." The private school, with about 80 students from kindergarten through 12th grade, will move from its two sites, one in Belton, one in Raymore, to a location near South Kansas City. The new location, according to the board, will allow the school to consolidate all the students, K through 12, into one building instead of housing lower grades in Belton and the upper grades in Raymore. The Star's Judy Thomas delved into the controversial decision, which the school has said was, quote, what God would have us do at this point in time.
Look, I'm not making fun of anyone's religious preferences. I am truly not. But how come when a mistake or an oversight happens, the default is, well, this is what God wanted. God did not want your children going to school next to a dozen registered sex offenders. God wanted you to do a Google search before you bought the building.
Probably true.
Did they specify the radius within, or like?
I'm looking, Sam, and I will look up the registry. This is just off of 83rd Street. I've got the map pulled up right in front of me.
Now, is it 13 sex offenders within 1,000 feet or within 15 miles?
It just says that live and work in or near the area.
Because I pulled up the map of registered sex offenders in Kansas City.
This is off of 85th and Blue Ridge Boulevard.
And there's a lot.
Okay, so, Sam, this was a question I had for Scott off the air. Help me here. Look through some of the addresses because I've done stories on this before. There are sometimes apartment buildings where the manager of the apartment agrees to allow sex offenders to live there, or there's a halfway house nearby. So there's a bunch of them congregated in what looks like a bunch of different addresses. Mm-hmm. But depending on the layout of the apartment complex, it could be the same address.
So I've zoomed out on the map so that I can see all the way from Park Hill down to 50 Highway, so 135th Street, roughly.
Okay.
And granted, the dots they're pretty large on the map, but there's not a lot of green space. The blue dots are where they work, the red dots are where they live, and the map is covered.
Hmm.
Absolutely covered. My point being, where would you put it that it's not going to be around 15 sex offenders?
And that may be a fair point. That may be a fair point.
I mean, you can go out to Buckner. Buckner has three. You can go out there, and then you only have three.
And good luck getting all the kindergartens and first graders out there.
Yeah.
I'm looking up 8524 Blue Ridge.
And what a sad commentary on who we are as people that you're looking at a map of sex offenders, and the map is fully covered.
But that's, colored. That's,
sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, that's why I'm asking, is it possible that there is some sort of apartment complex where they are all housed?
Or to Sam's point, there's nowhere to go.
What makes me mad is the lack of transparency with the parents. Just come out and say, we goofed. We thought that this old church building would be a great place to locate a school. In hindsight, we should have looked at the registry. Who would have known that there were this many dots blaring red near where our children are going to learn? But we are doing everything we can to ensure safety, you know, when you drop your children off. This is sort of out in the sticks, so I'm guessing there's not going to be a lot of kids walking to and from school. Like, they could have handled it a million different ways and said, look, we are sorry, but we are certain that the kids are going to be safe, and here's why. Instead, they go, well, God wanted us to live next to sex offenders. Give me a break. No, if that is your belief, that is malarkey, and you know it. If you believe whatever faith this is, and I don't know, that's malarkey. Just call it what it is. You didn't search.
But to Sam's point about the map that he was looking at from Park Hill all the way to 50 Highway being literally littered with blue and red dots, where they live, where they work, tell me a school in the entire city that's not near sex offenders.
Well, and that's why I want to know the radius, because if we're looking at a multiple mile radius,
no,
there isn't one.
That would be unfair.
If we're looking at in a 1,000-foot radius, there might be like three or four schools that aren't within 1,000 feet of a sex offender.
This does bring up a wider topic. When you are searching for a home, you are told to do your due diligence. The real estate agents will, there's actually something that you sign now when you buy or sell a house, that we are not responsible as your real estate agent for tracking down whether there's a violent offender in your area. And you sign something saying you will do that research. So we're all sort of conditioned to do that when you buy private property as a residence.
Right.
Think about it, Scott. If you are buying a commercial property, let's say you want to open an ice cream store. How many people really think, oh, we should probably look up the sex offender registry if we're going to open up an arcade? I bet you most people, when it comes to commercial property, don't think to look. You're looking for, does the HVAC work? How old's the roof? How many students can we hold here? How much is it going to cost to bring this up to code? You're looking at those things. I think it's probably more often than not, people forget to look, which is why they should have just been transparent.
But let me just show you my neighborhood, okay, in Shawnee.
Yeah, you don't want to look this stuff up.
Those are all the registered sex offenders in that neighborhood, okay?
Yeah.
And there's probably a little more than a half a dozen. There are no fewer than four schools in that area.
Okay. When does your radar go up for all of our listeners in your own neighborhood? You know, they can't be within 500 feet or something of a school, but within your own neighborhood, is it six blocks? I don't have little kids walking to and fro anymore. So I'm, you know, not that sex offenders can't be violent
and
rapists.
And I'm not excusing any of these
No. But I'm asking you, like, radius-wise, what are you comfortable with? I think for most people, it's like, what, four blocks, would you say?
There's eight schools already in the area of where this school is going.
Then they should have led with that in their statement.
That's a fair point.
We are proud to be one of nine schools in this area. They need me to write a statement, I'll do it. You leave God wanted us next to sex offenders out of it.
913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. Just very quickly, not looking to make this a topic, but it is important and it is newsworthy. The Blue Valley School District is banning registered sex offenders from all school property and events. Monday night, the district school board approved the new policy. It comes after a sex offender was allowed to attend a school dance with the daughter of his girlfriend. They did have permission from the principal. Some parents, though, took to social media, sharing their disdain for what they felt was a lack of proper policy in place at the district level.
Oh, call that what it was. The parents were furious he was at the dance and taking photos, I'm sure, of his girlfriend's daughter. But they were like, wait, what?
Photos, yeah.
You saw this policy change coming the day the story came out.
They were furious. Here's this story from Forbes, and I think Jamie and Grayson were talking about this during their program earlier today. There is a bit of a controversy going around following Katy Perry and Gayle King and four others, including Lauren Sanchez, who is Bezos' girlfriend or fiance, being referred to in some media outlets as astronauts.
Oh.
And there was one of the memes, and there's a bunch of memes going around, and there is some backlash regarding them being referred to as astronauts. And one of the memes I saw today, it wasn't them. It wasn't the two astronauts who just came back a couple weeks ago. But it's a man and a woman kind of staring at each other, and they both kind of look annoyed and confused at the same time. And it says the two astronauts that got stuck in space for 10 months watching Katy Perry and Gayle King kiss the Earth when they land after being in space for 11 minutes.
Okay, well, I would kiss the Earth going up. I would kiss the Earth coming back from a hot air balloon, which I will never set foot in because they drop like a rock out of the sky and everyone dies. But I do draw the line at calling them astronauts.
They did hit the ground pretty hard, and they all screamed when
they
hit the ground.
That does not make you an astronaut.
That's true.
If you are actually an astronaut, you are cringing that anyone, not because they're famous, not because they're Hollywood people, you are cringing that anyone that does not have the time and the effort and the certification and the risk to your life is calling themselves that when you're, it's sort of like if you are a doctor, okay?
Oh God, well, where are you going with this?
I'm just gonna say it. There's a lot of different certifications out there.
Oh boy.
Here we go.
But if you are a surgeon, uh-huh, and like, let's say you see Dr. Phil spewing a bunch of nonsense on television, you probably cringe at the fact that they call Dr. Phil a doctor.
Oh, right there it is.
Well, he is a psychiatrist or something.
Psychologist.
Is he? I think he has his doctorate. I don't think he's a licensed psychiatrist, which is a doctor.
I think he was.
You become a doctor when you get your doctorate.
You get my point, though. For any certification.
I thought you were going to say something about chiropractors.
No. For any certification, you either have that certification or you don't. And as an astronaut, my God, how many years of your life have you dedicated to exploring space and all of those things?
This isn't their fault. Text line said Gayle was saying that she wasn't an astronaut.
No, they're space tourists.
If
this
you
is
asked
folks
Gayle
in the
King,
media trying to assign a title.
That's my point.
Yeah. I sort of agree, Dan. If you ask Gayle King, what are you? She would say, well, I'm Oprah's best friend and I'm a talk show host.
Who got to take a space tourist ride.
Gayle would not say I'm an astronaut.
Which is cool in its own respect, but these folks trying to make it into something more than it actually is. I mean, it's cool already. You don't have to assign something to it to make it even more.
Well, but Dan, that's what we do. We comment on what other people do. And it's been a very handsome career.
Now, if you have a doctorate in another field that's not medicine, are you not a doctor?
Well, you can be a doctor of education. You can have your doctorate in many, many, many things. And I have friends who do, and in a professional setting, I introduce them as doctor.
Mm-hmm. My psychologist has a doctorate in psychology. I'm not going to give out his last name, but when I see him, I always refer to him as Dr. So-and-so.
I just feel like for certain things, it is so hard to get that certification that it should be reserved only for those who have that distinction. Astronaut is certainly one of them.
From the text line, you do a ride along with police, doesn't make you a police officer.
Bingo.
No,
great, great point.
That is a good one.
It's a cool thing that you've done, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And you may have learned something, you experienced some things that the professionals do on a daily basis. And yeah, cool. But yeah.
Do they still allow ride alongs?
Sure.
I don't know. I haven't done one in years. Last one I did was in 2006.
How long is that waiver these days?
Probably pretty long. Well, and mine was for a series called Riding with the Kickins. So I rode with them for like 2 weeks.
Yeah. But that's different. You were working media at the time. Yeah. I wonder if you can still go through the Citizens Academy.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Do all the things and get tased and, you know.
Somebody says, call out the news outlets that was being so stupid yesterday. Just put three letters together and you got to figure it out. It was just about all of them.
you know, calling them astronauts.
Well, it was like a reporter, you know, and then I can't remember which of the cable news outlets I was watching yesterday, and the reporter said, you know, the six astronauts that came back, and then paused himself and said, well, I don't know if that's a fair term to use. You know, they were just talking back and forth with the anchor, and
yeah,
it was one of the three. I can't remember which
one. It's space tourists. Dan's right.
They're space tourists. That's right.
Self-policing among many in this industry does not occur that often.
I watch Law and Order. Does that make me a lawyer? Dun dun.
I've been on television before. Does that make me a TV personality?
No.
No,
I
clearly
hate that word.
I hate the term personality. I hate
television personality.
I mean, is a caller to this show, and we love them all, are they talk show hosts? Or a radio talk show caller?
A caller.
Yeah. I'd say they're a caller.
My favorite meme from all of it was the video of them getting into the capsule. And all of them are just happy-go-lucky, bopping around. They look like they're having the time of their lives. And then Gayle King walks by and rings the bell and looks as bored as can be.
She looks miserable.
And
she
the caption on all the memes is like, me going into work with all my coworkers.
Well, that's not fair. She did say before she went up there that she was absolutely petrified.
Of course.
To go up in that ship. And that it was... Oprah, who really encouraged her to do it. You know, you've got to do this. This will be fun.
Peer
It'll be
pressure.
Amazing. Yeah.
I told you could not pay me a trillion. I think the word was trillion that I use. $1 trillion to go up in that thing.
That's... If I gave you $1 trillion.
No.
I'll do it.
That's $100 billion a minute.
I can't spend it if I'm dead.
I would do it for free.
I don't know if I would do it for free.
If you're offering
Sam, you're
the
so
money,
young.
Yeah, I'll take that too.
The people doing it are paying a $150,000 deposit. The actual cost has never been disclosed.
Is that right?
Oh, I want. What is the guess?
Oh, I bet it's $250,000 to $300,000.
That's a $150,000 deposit. So
it's probably like a $10 million, $15 million launch from stem to stern.
Yeah, but Gayle King doesn't have $10 million.
No,
does she?
It's the company that's, you know. Yeah.
Well, I would bet they didn't. None of them paid.
Then what would be the point?
Media attention.
Maybe you're right.
But it's one thing to say, hey, will you drive around in this Mazda for a week and tell people on Insta how much you like it? It's another thing to be like, you might go up, you might not come down. You're going to do it for free.
It's
Who's
an
in?
Interesting marketing message. Oh, look, we sent women up there, too.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, it's
And I can certainly understand wanting Katy Perry to go up. She's a very popular singer, would probably write a song about it, become a big hit. Gayle King is one of the morning anchors on CBS Morning News. What are you laughing about?
Did Katy Perry shoot across the sky? Because baby, you're a fire.
Get she out. Singing Get out. There. You're so supersonic.
What's going on?
I can't stop
line.
It. I love that song.
Text line's looking to start raising funds, like a GoFundMe to send Dana up.
Oh, yeah.
$1 trillion.
Keep those phones ringing, people.
Yeah. We only got eight lines.
They're going to be ringing a while.
We only got eight lines. Let's get them ringing. All right. This was unnecessary. Quick break. Telephone number is 913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. If I am not mistaken, we always end the show with birthdays and what this day, you know, National Hot Dog Day. If I'm not mistaken, this is the 113th anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic.
Yes.
And it is also the date that Abraham Lincoln was shot and killed.
We talked about the Titanic briefly on yesterday's program because someone at the Titanic Museum and Exhibit asked, did they ever find the diamond that Rose threw into the ocean at the end of the movie? And they weren't kidding. They were actually wondering if...
Well, did they?
No.
Oh.
Searched high and low. They can't find it. Because Rose didn't exist, and neither did the diamond. And what's his face? What's his name?
Leonardo.
Well, but the character.
Jack.
Jack, that's right. He didn't exist either.
He didn't exist after she shoved him off that door.
I will love you forever. The 85-year-old aunt of Eric and Lyle Menendez, Terry Barrelt, has been hospitalized after prosecutors showed graphic crime scene images at the brothers' hearing. The relative, I think it was on Friday when the hearing was, if I'm not mistaken. The relatives are slamming the Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office for their, quote, cruel presentation in court on Friday and said that they're taking formal action to demand that the DA's office be removed from the case.
Good. No one is denying that mom and dad, no one denies that they were shotgun blasted to death. That's not what this case is about, and it's not what the potential resentencing is about. The resentencing is about the years of sexual abuse those boys endured at the hands of their father and purportedly at the knowledge of their mother.
Correct. Barrelt, Terry Barrelt, she is Jose Menendez's sister.
It's shock value. All that was shock value.
Was found unresponsive on Sunday morning and was sent to the hospital in critical condition. Quoting here from the family in a statement, "We are devastated. Terry may not recover from what was done to her, and to all of us in that courtroom, we deserve better. We firmly believe that if the DA's office had shown even an ounce of consideration for us as victims, we would not be hoping for one more day with Terry right now." The family says the graphic display, I'm assuming these are crime scene photos, of the parents, violated what's called Marcy's Law, which is a California bill of rights for victims, specifically noting it states that a victim is entitled to be treated with fairness and respect and to be free from intimidation, harassment, and abuse.
Was she watching on Zoom?
I don't know, because she lives in New Jersey, it's does awful. She not?
It's yeah, she awful. Said one of the reasons that she wants them to be released is because she hasn't been able to see them because she's elderly and cannot travel to visit the prison.
I'm assuming then that she was watching on Zoom. That would be my guess. With the deadline for Real IDs Fest approaching, many Americans are struggling to book appointments to obtain the new documentation, especially in the state of New Jersey. Beginning May 7th, air travelers at domestic airports and anyone entering a federal building must have what is known as the Real ID.
Oh, wait. Anyone entering a federal building?
Some, not all federal buildings.
I was going to say, I wouldn't have known that.
Yeah. You can still use a passport.
Okay.
You don't have to have a real ID if you have a passport.
Yeah, people aren't going to show up to federal court with a passport, but go ahead. We might bring this back tomorrow, and here's why.
Okay.
There needs to be like an updated campaign to remind everyone you have to get this done. The only place I've ever seen anything, last week when I got my updated driver's license, once you go into the driver's license bureau, there are signs everywhere. Hey, you need to get, well, if I'm already in there, I know that.
But they've been delaying this thing for 20 years.
Well, but it's time to remind everybody you've got to get this done. The delays are up.
All right, today is tax day. It is Jackie Robinson Day. Celebrating birthdays today, Emma Watson is 35. Chris Stapleton is 47. And Seth Rogen is 43. We got to run on behalf of our producer today, the finest man in these United States, the great Sam Stevie III. My good friend and co-host Dana Wright, my name is Scott Parks. God willing, back tomorrow too. Be safe, be well, and be good to one another. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.